You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere. Here are your hosts, Richard Justice and Allison Footer.
This is MLB.com Extras, the Los Angeles Dodgers. I'm Richard Justice, joined by my colleague, Allison Footer. Allison, we're headed for a Dodgers-Giants September. When you look at the Dodgers, I mean, they have a million problems in that, you know, their outfield defense is terrible. They have four veteran outfielders that want to play. Only three can play. Matt Kemp's not happy. Hanley Ramirez has had trouble getting on the field. They've had some slumps the back end of the rotation. And yet, having said all that, they're right at first place. They've been flirting at first place for a while. When they look to the postseason, they're going to line up Kershaw and Greinke, and that's a pretty good way to start to win in a championship. As you look at the Dodgers, what do you think?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't have that. I had a lot of a more sunnier outlook on them than you did, I guess. But you know, you raised some good points. But it all comes down to pitching, and they still have plenty of it. So. Do they have enough of a team to go deep to the postseason? You know, that really remains to be seen. I thought it was interesting hearing some of the talk recently during a Dodgers-Cardinals series that this could possibly be a rematch of the NLCS from last year. I'm like, wow, okay, you guys are a little bold here. I'm not sure I see either one of these teams getting that far. But like you said, when you have the and have Kershaw, you know, none of your problems can really be that bad. But there are definitely, you know, with the expectations, of course, to L.A. and with who they're battling in their division, this is not going to be, a clear path to October. I don't think they're going to get to the playoffs.
We're joined now by Ken Gernick of MLB.com. Has covered the Dodgers for a long time. Ken, I look at your club. Sometimes I think this is the most interesting team in baseball. The offense is not great. The defense, especially in the outfield, is not great. They're not hitting many home runs. And yet, they're right there fighting the Giants for first place, Giants and Dodgers in September, the way it ought to be. What's the big picture here for you coming out of the All-Star break?
Well, you left out the pitching. I guess it's hard to criticize the pitching because they probably have the deepest staff maybe in the major leagues. But, that's really why they're right there at the top of the division is the pitching. And even though they're spending a ton of money on hitters, It's the pitchers that have gotten them this far.
Ken, Ryu has a good record with 5 days rest and 6 days rest, above average or below average maybe with 4 days rest. What's your analysis of this? Should any accommodation be made for him? What do you think about the difference in the numbers, the disparity?
Well, it's probably just the fact that he pitched for 9 years. In Korea, and he didn't have to pitch every 5 days. And it's been a transition over here. You know, he's had trouble making it. He's still a pretty good pitcher, and he's probably not the only one, you know, if you go through all the numbers. But he definitely pitches better when he's got more rest. And they do try to skip him, set him back. I mean, even this time, coming out of the All-Star break, they pushed him back to the fourth game. So they do try to do that, and with off days, you find very often that they stick with a five-man rotation if they can to give them that sixth day. So I do think that they do make accommodations when they can, but you can't juggle everybody just to give him an extra day, and sometimes he just has to pitch a normal rest.
Right. Ken, Matt Kemp played a game in right field this week and looked like a guy born to play right field, which, you know, where he began his career. What do you make of it? Is playing left field really as difficult for him as he makes it seem, and he wants to play center? How does Don Mattingly handle all this?
I don't know. How would you handle it if a guy wants to play center, is better in right, but has to play left? I don't know.
Right.
He's not handling it. It's just a daily, you know, kind of grab bag. There is no regular routine here with their outfield. They've got 4-for-3, and the math doesn't work. And Puig is because of his arm, probably has to play right field. So, you know, he's probably going to go back to being a platoon guy in left with Carl Crawford if everybody's healthy.
And how do you see it playing out? Do you think they aggressively would like to trade Matt, or – what's their feeling about having four proven guys for three spots?
Well, it's been ill-advised from the start, but they've kind of painted themselves into this corner. And, you know, assuming that you're not going to put Puig in a deal, you got three overpaid outfielders for two positions, and nobody's really eager to take those contracts on. And on the other hand, for the Dodgers, I mean, you'd like to move one of them to make way for Jock Peterson, who's the best AAA outfielder. But what do? You give them away? Do you eat their contract? And then the next thing you know, another guy goes down, and he went from a surplus to a shortage. So, I mean, they've been wrestling with this for 2 years, and they haven't been able to figure out a solution.
You know, you and I have been doing this a long time, and we know sort of the environment of the clubhouse. Hanley Ramirez got, correct me if I'm wrong, he got hit on Saturday, and Clayton responded, or he got hit on Sunday, right? And Clayton responded on Sunday. What kind of reaction do his teammates have when they see Clayton doing something like this, but letting his guys know, I got your back? Is it a big deal in the clubhouse?
Well, yeah, but it's almost expected because he's proven this in the past. He had an incident in the past with Arizona going back several years. So he's not afraid to do that. Greinke's not afraid to do that. So it's just one more part of his resume that makes him probably the most respected player in that clubhouse. But it isn't a surprise because he's proven it over the years, just like he's proven the work ethic and all the Cy Youngs in the world don't change the way he approaches things. And it doesn't change the fact that he'll protect his players when the situation arises in a game like that.
It's amazing to watch a young guy sort of take on a leadership role and have a respect that he's had. I mean, but I guess you get that by doing pretty much everything right, right?
Well, you know, he kind of reminds me of in those ways of the Nolan Ryan, although, you know, he actually accomplished more a lot sooner than Ryan did. But then when Ryan got into his 30s, he was that type of player, you know, commanding respect and knew how to play the game and knew when it was time to protect the hitter. And Clayton just learned it real quickly. But just like Ryan, Clayton, I think, is kind of that team leader, even though you often don't see a team leader being a pitcher pitches every 5 days. I think you saw it with Ryan, and you're seeing it now with Kershaw.
Ken, the Giants and Dodgers, are one of those teams is going to win the division because the Diamondbacks, Padres, and Rockies are not going to it. The Giants have had a tough week, losing Belt and losing Kane. And the Dodgers have some bumps and bruises, too, trying to get Hanley and Puig back on the field. As you look at the two clubs, is there a club you like more between the Dodgers? And is there a club that has an advantage going forward as we head into a Dodgers-Giants September?
Well, I think in one way, you know, the Dodgers have an advantage in depth. I mean, when they, you know, lose one of their starting outfielders, they've got another starting outfielder with a $100 million contract. There aren't that many teams that can do that. And it paid off last year. And it probably will pay off again this year. You know, they don't have to dip into the minor leagues, which is a good thing because they don't really have much of a minor league to dip into. But they don't have to. Now, if they were to have a problem with their starting pitching, then they're thin. They're thin in the minor leagues, and that could be either the starting pitching and even the relief pitching. That could be in the next week or so where they address it through a trade. But I think on a position player front, you know, they're pretty well loaded. In order to cover up one or two injuries, where the Giants, I think, it's a little thinner, and they're going to have a little more trouble filling in these holes.
Well, the Giants and Dodgers play six times in the last 17 days of the regular season, and it's a guy that's covered the Dodgers for a long time. That's the way it ought to be, right? I mean, the Dodgers and Giants?
Well, I think all of us kind of remember the days where you pretty much played within your division that last month, and the schedule doesn't allow it to that extent, but in the case of the Dodgers and Giants this year, it will, and it'll probably go down to those games. You know, I don't think the Dodgers really are good enough right now to reel off, you know, 15 out of 18 and run away with the division. So, and I'm hoping for a good September, you know, that there's a race and not a runaway, and it looks like that's what we're going to get.
Dodgers and Giants. Ken Gernick of MLB.com joining us today. Thank you so much, Ken. I'll talk to you down the road.